Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Jesus left us a pattern for prayer, an outline of how to approach God. When the disciples asked him to teach them how to pray as they saw him pray, his answer was the famous Lord's Prayer. Now we can learn as they did. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Erwin Lutzer is continuing a series from the parables he's calling You Can't Redo Life. Today, we turn to Luke chapter 11 for a lesson on getting prayer right.
I have a friend who says that for many people, prayer is something like an oxygen mask on a plane. You're glad that it's there, but you're thankful that you've never had to use it. But in the case of an emergency, you hope you'd be able to know how to use it. We've all heard flight attendants give us the specifics as to how it can be put over our faces and take care of your child first. But in all of the times I have flown hundreds of thousands of miles, we have never needed an oxygen mask. One time in Russia, the oxygen masks did fall, but that was equipment failure. We didn't need it. Is that the way in which you view prayer? I have an ambitious goal today, and that is to transform forever your understanding of prayer, so that you will not see it as an oxygen mask, but something without which you cannot live, so that you begin to relate to God differently because you understand God differently. As a matter of fact, you cannot really understand prayer unless you properly understand God, and most of our hang-ups about prayer are as a result of the fact that we do not properly understand the Lord our God and what he's up to. For example, if you believe in need-based prayer, that the idea of prayer is to get something from God, I can tell you two things about you. First of all, when you don't have any need for that oxygen mask, you're going to think it's because of the strength of your own right hand, or simply because you have it coming to you, or something that you can assume. And then if you don't get what you want from God, you will become bitter and angry. You'll say, like one man did to me, "God is not worth a plug nickel to me," he said after his child died. If you look at prayer that way, as need-based, you will eventually give up on God, give up on prayer, and go your own way, probably with a tinge of bitterness. Well, we're going to solve all that today, hopefully. We're going to help us look at prayer so differently, and for that, I want you to take your Bibles. This is a series of messages entitled, You Can't Redo Life, How the Parables Help Us to Get It Right the First Time. If you were not here last time to hear the message on getting conversion right, the sower and the seed, may I encourage you to listen to that message, because all of these hang together and the implications are overwhelming. But today it's the 11th chapter of Luke chapter 11, where we're going to speak about prayer, and then we're going to wind it up and help us to understand how prayer should be thought of and the difference that it will make in our lives. Jesus is there with the disciples, and they say in Luke chapter 11, that's page 869, if you have a Bible that is there in the seat in front of you. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of the disciples said, "Lord, teach us to pray." Isn't that interesting? They didn't say, "Lord, teach us to be successful. Lord, teach us how we might better relate to one another," all of which maybe has its importance at times, but "teach us to pray." Are you here today willing to learn to pray from Jesus? That's the agenda. Now, notice, first of all, as Jesus introduces this model prayer, sometimes called the Lord's Prayer, but really Jesus could not have prayed this prayer because it involves the forgiveness of sins. But as we look at this model prayer, Jesus begins by saying, "Father, hallowed be thy name." Now, I need to tell you that there are different versions of the Lord's Prayer in the Gospels. And the reason for this is Jesus probably gave this instruction many times. Nobody was there with a recorder. Nobody was writing it down immediately. The disciples were learning all these things. So Jesus undoubtedly went over them. So some of the versions have the Lord's Prayer in different language, or it may even add a phrase or subtract a phrase, as the case may be. But the essence is the same. Jesus said, Father, hallowed be your name. First of all, in terms of characteristics of prayer, prayer is always relational. It's always relational. Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, has to do with the fatherhood of God. And notice that our first concern is for what? It's for the Father, the Father's glory, the fame of the Father's name throughout the whole world. Hallowed be thy name. One of the reasons that we do evangelism is because we want more tongues giving glory to God. We want to honor God, and we want to see him honored in more lives. And so we speak here about the Father's glory, the Father's faithfulness. Give us this day our daily bread. The Father's mercy. Forgive us our trespasses. Everything has to do with God, because prayer ultimately is relational. It's our ability to relate to God as Father, which didn't happen in the Old Testament. But Jesus gave us a brand new intimacy with the Father that others didn't experience. As he said to Mary, I ascend to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Now, the fact that we relate to God as Father means that we have brothers and sisters in the family. Do you notice in this prayer that there is no such thing as a single pronoun? That is to say, a pronoun that is singular. Everything is plural. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Give us this day, not give me, but give us this day our daily bread. Forgive our debts and our trespasses. Always plural. Because in the New Testament, the whole implication and teaching is that we live the Christian life in community. We are in contact with our brothers and in contact with our sisters. And so we come unitedly. We come with needs that are united at the foot of the cross, and sometimes we pray individually, but we also pray collectively. And that's why it is so important that we learn to do that. So first of all, prayer is relationship. Secondly, prayer yields to the will of God. Now, you'll notice that Jesus said, for example, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Other versions of the prayer say, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Is prayer easy or is it work? Have you ever heard people say, you know, prayer is hard work? And you say, not for me. I mean, I come before God, I lay out all of my requests. Where is the work? When we come before God, the work and the agony. Sometimes you hear people talking about wrestling with God. Some of you maybe have never wrestled with God. It is not so much that we are getting God to do our will, but it is submission to his will. And sometimes that is very difficult to do. The best illustration, of course, is Jesus in Gethsemane. Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. We look at Jesus wrestling with God. And all the people who have accomplished something for God, all of those who have come to know God, will wrestle with God at some point in yieldedness. If your prayer does not lead to yieldedness before God, if it does not have that component, you haven't really prayed, as will become clear in a moment. Then there's another characteristic, and that is persistence in prayer. And here we get to the parable now. A parable that has often been misunderstood, and with God's help, we hope that we'll clarify what Jesus was after. He said to them, which of you has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within, do not bother me. The door is now shut. My children are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. Jesus said, I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. That's a word, by the way, we're going to have to comment on. And I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receive. The one who seeks, finds. The one who knocks, it will be opened. Just that far. We don't understand this unless we understand Middle East hospitality. In those days, if a friend came to visit you and you didn't have anything to give him, that was huge, huge social injustice. Hospitality was critical. So here's a man, and a friend comes on a long journey, and he doesn't know that the friend is coming. No emails, no fax machines, no cell phones. The man arrives at midnight because he was delayed somewhere, and he comes to his friend and says, I'm here to spend the night, by the way. And the friend says, you're welcome, but that friend has no bread to give him. So he gets up and he goes to his friend's house because he knows that even though he doesn't have any bread, his friend is the kind of family that always has some left over because they have quite a few children and they usually bake more bread than they need. And he goes to him and begins to knock on his door and saying, I know it's midnight, but I need some bread for a friend who has come. Now, nobody goes to a friend's home at midnight unless the reason for doing that is very critical. This is huge. I need something to give my friend.
Well, this is Pastor Luther, and I'm so glad that you have joined us for this series on the parables. And I certainly hope that you tune in next time as I continue to explain this parable. What we'll discover is that there's much more to prayer than simply persistence. As a matter of fact, this parable actually unfolds the generosity of the Father. The Father loves to give, and you'll hear about that next time. Also, in a moment, you're going to be given information as to how you can order these messages so that you can listen to them again and again. And I'm so appreciative for the many of you who pray for us, you support us, because together we are able to make a difference. All over the country, we have listeners who help us. Thanks again for joining us. God bless you, and I'll see you right here next time.
Erwin Lutzer and Getting Prayer Right, the second in a series from the parables he's calling You Can't Redo Life. Jesus teaches us to be bold in praying, saying, ask and it will be given to you. Next time, more lessons on prayer. All 10 parts of You Can't Redo Life can be yours on CD, sent as our way of saying thanks for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.